شكرا حبيبي.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who has honored us with Islam. And there is no honor except in Islam. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, alone with no partners. Whomever asks Him, He gives him. And whomever seeks guidance from Him, He guides him. And whomever depends on Him, He will suffice him. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and Allah's messenger and the chosen one among His creation. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him. May Allah exalt His mention, that of His companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. As to what follows, O Muslims, I remind myself and you of the taqwa of Allah. Have taqwa of your Lord. Verily, the people of success and salvation are the people of taqwa, piety, the people who keep the covenants, and the people of sincerity. So woe to those who are heedless. Woe to those who are absent-minded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their sustenance is low, and their journey is long, and they are confused, not knowing where they're going. Their life span is short, but their hope is very long. And there's no power and no way to do anything except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grandfathers have been buried in the dirt, and the fathers are going away, and the children very soon will become only history. So what is this? What is the matter with us that we are over concerned and very careful about gaining this world, although the situation is that we will all be departing very soon? Excuse me. Muslims, the Hajj season is over, and those who have performed Hajj have returned to their homes safe and sound, have performed their obligation, and all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except those whom Allah decreed that they shall pass away and die on the way there. So to those we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them and to shower them with His mercy and to permit them to His gardens. O Muslims, we have two narrations to reflect upon. Both of them were narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arbah. The first one is on the authority is in Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever performs pilgrimage to this house, meaning to the Kaaba, and he does not have a relationship with his spouse or that which leads to that, and he does not disobey Allah, he will return similar to the day his mother gave birth to him, meaning free from sins. And the other one, which was narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the umrah to the next umrah are means for the sins to be expiated in between. And the acceptable hajj has no reward except Jannah. An acceptable hajj has no reward except Jannah. He says, so then the person who performs an acceptable hajj is the one who seeks the correctness in his hajj in terms of fulfilling the obligations and the pillars of hajj. And he follows the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, learn from me the rites of hajj. Furthermore, he will distance himself from arguments, from disobedience and from sins. And before that, his sustenance is halal. The money he's using to travel, the spending money he has, was earned through halal. These are the conditions, in a sense, for the acceptable hajj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This individual will go back to the same way he was when his mother delivered him. And everybody knows that we were born upon the fitrah. Whether the Muslims or the non-Muslims, everybody was born upon the fitrah. And the fitrah is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be free from sins. then as we lead our lives, we earn sins. Yet Allah Azza wa Jalla has opened the door of forgiveness, so He forgives. But initially, if you are the way that your mother delivered you on the day you were born, then my brother, you will be free from sins. And this person has no reward except Jannah. Imagine, how would this individual feel? The brother who performed Hajj, his mentality when he comes back, how would he be while he's walking upon earth with absolutely no sins? He is as pure as an angel, because the angels are sinless. If we were to ask how many people performed Hajj this particular year, the Shaykh said there are about 3 million. They may be a little more, a little less. He says, Ma'alish, ma'alish. Alhamdulillah, don't worry about it. He says, let us disregard the Hujjaj who came from outside the country. Let us first deal with the ones inside. We will deal with the brothers who came from other countries. They are about 1 million. And if you're saying I'm exaggerating, he said, let's say they're 500,000, to be on the safe side. 500,000 have performed Hajj from this country. So we have 500,000 person promised Jannah. 500,000 person have been promised Jannah. 500,000 person walking upon this earth with absolutely no sins on them. If we were to produce this equal amount every year of Hujjaj from within the country who perform Hajj, 500,000, what do you think will happen to the community? How do you think the community will be when these brothers come back? Brothers or sisters come back. Don't you think that this will affect the community that they live in? Don't you think that the community will be affected by the return of these brothers and sisters who have no sins? So each one of them will become an effective element of the society, helping those around them, being a source of benefit for them. He says, obviously this is the case. So the one who used to smoke before he performed Hajj, if he comes back after Hajj, he should not be smoking anymore. And the one who used to deal with riba and interest and usury, when he comes back from Hajj, he leaves that alone, whether paying it or receiving it. And he seeks lawful ways of earning an income. And the one who is indulged in his sins and disobedience will leave alone his sins and his disobedience. And the one who used to oppress the people either with his tongue or with his actions or with his statements, then will also leave and abandon all that. And you could say something similar about every sin and every disobedience that is performed by the Muslims and while they oppress themselves against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we were to really implement this, if this really happened to the community, what do you think there would be the benefit of this ummah when these hujjaj come back from Hajj? And we can say something similar to those brothers who came from other countries. If they went back to their respective countries as effective elements in the society, because they have become pure, because they have repented to Allah from their sins, then what do you think will be this condition of the Muslim Ummah altogether? And they have washed away their sins on the mountain of Arafat, and they went back to being successful individuals. If we were to have this, where the father will become successful in his household, and the teacher will be such with his students, and the employee will be such with his office employees, and everyone, the businessman will go back to being upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his trading with the people. If we were to get this kind of fulfillment, then verily the non-Muslims will be much worried and concerned about this yearly gathering. Those who oppose Islam and the Muslims who are fighting against us will think twice and 1,000 times before they will try to harm any Muslim country or any Muslims, had the Muslims been effective in this particular gathering every year. 3 million people coming together. But they know that it is only money that is being spent and power that is being wasted and trips that are being taken back and forth, and it is not being benefited from. And this is why they continue to attack us and go against us, because they know that the Muslims are not truly benefiting from this particular gathering. Because you can never gather this number of people for any other cause. No human beings will ever come from every country for one particular cause, except the Muslims in Hajj. And this is something that is amazing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with. He says, but all of this, what am I trying to say with this? This is an indication that perhaps our Hajj is not mabrur. Our Hajj is not acceptable. Our Hajj could be is not acceptable because people are coming back the same way they were before they went for Hajj. And according to our righteous predecessors, this is an indication that your Hajj is not accepted. They say, if you want to know whether your Hajj was accepted or not, check yourself after you come back. If you were smoking before you went, and you see some of them smoking while doing Hajj, wearing the ihram, he is prohibited from cutting his nails and his hair, but he has no problem lighting up a cigarette and disobeying Allah during the act of worship. Then he comes back, instead of smoking a pack, he smokes two packs now, because of the effort he had to exert during Hajj. So now he needs more smoke. You tell this individual, where is your Hajj going to go, ya akhi? Where are you looking for an acceptable Hajj? By disobeying Allah throughout the way? And Allah mentioned in the Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad mentioned in his narration, that part of the conditions of your Hajj is la fusuq, no disobedience. Smoking is disobedience and harmful to the believers. They make you smoke with them, even if you don't want to smoke. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these individuals. Anyways, the Shaykh made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring this ummah back to its reasoning and give us the correct understanding of the deen, and not make our acts of worship merely rituals, things that are done outwardly without the actual heart being purified. Because the objective of these acts of worship, my brothers, are for hearts to be purified. If our hearts are filthy before we go, during the time over there, and when we come back, then we have not truly benefited from this Hajj. And we are not among those whose sins will be forgiven, nor among those who Jannah has been promised to. The second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh began by reminding us of having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah deserves it. And he quoted a verse from the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal says, so after you have fulfilled your rites of Hajj, the manasik, then remember Allah Azza wa Jal the same way you remember your fathers, or even more abundantly. And among the people are those who say, oh Allah, give us goodness of this world, but they have no portion in the hereafter. Yet among them are those who say, oh Allah, give us in this life goodness, and in the life to come goodness, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. For those, they will be a share of what they have earned, and verily Allah is swift in reckoning. The Shaykh said, oh Muslims, the Muslim is never relieved of doing good. It's not like a burden you carry on your shoulders. You know, you did Hajj, now that you're done with Hajj, khalas, I could rest again, I don't have to remember Allah, I don't have to do salah or something along these lines. Because some people don't pray, and they only go through Hajj, and during Hajj they pray because they have no choice, and then when they come back, they don't pray again. Because prayer is a burden on them. Prayer is a burden heavy on their shoulders, so as soon as they're free from it, khalas, I don't need to pray anymore. And nas'al Allah al-afiyah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from this path of life. So the Muslim is never really cut off from doing good deeds. Rather, it's not seasonal. You know, Ramadan, we do good. Ramadan is over, we go bad. Hajj comes, we do good. Hajj goes, we go bad, and so forth. Rather, a Muslim should be continuously striving and doing things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after you complete your rites of Hajj, then remember Allah the same way you remember your fathers. The same way you people brag about their forefathers that we mentioned before, then the Muslim remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more abundantly than that. And this is when, after you have completed your Hajj, after you are done with Hajj, you are commanded by Allah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, so we will ever be connected. We will ever be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Hajj will not feel that now that he has come back, he is no longer expected to remember Allah and to be obedient to Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided the creation into two. There are those who say, oh Allah, give us the goodness of this world. But these people will have no share in the hereafter. And the other portion are those who are more wise and intelligent. They ask for the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. And they seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire. Those Allah will give them a reward, a share of what they have asked. And Allah verily is swift in reckoning. The Shaykh said, Al-Hasana fi dunya, goodness in this dunya includes being healthy in the body and having a sufficient sustenance and a good, you know, beloved wife, beneficial knowledge, righteous deeds, a comfortable vehicle, and being praised by the people, and other things. This is hasana in the dunya. And in the akhirah, in the hereafter, and on top of the list is Jannah. Jannah. This is the best hasana that the believer gets. And being protected from this, from the fear of the Day of Judgment, while the people will be in a state of fear, the Muslim will be given tathbeet, will be given means of being firm, tranquility in the heart, while the people are in a state of heedlessness on the Day of Judgment. And his accountability to be swift and easy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it was mentioned in the Sunnah that the most abundant supplication that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to say in his life is رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And Anas narrated that the Prophet ﷺ visited a man among the Muslims who had become so ill. He became so ill, he became the size, يعني he shrunk in size because of his sickness, on the verge of death. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, do you supplicate to Allah? Do you ask Him anything? He said, yes. I say, oh Allah, if you intended to punish me in the hereafter regarding any sin, then make the punishment quick in the dunya. Meaning, don't hold me accountable for it in the hereafter. Give it to me in the dunya. His intent was that when he meets Allah, he will not be responsible for the sin, that he will be punished for it in the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ, the one who was sent as mercy to mankind, said, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. You will not be able to bear it. You will not be able to handle it. If Allah was to give us according to our sins, we will be destroyed in our place. He said, you will not be able to bear that, my brother. Rather, why don't you say, oh Allah, give us goodness in this life and goodness in the hereafter and protect us from the punishment of the fire. So it says that this particular brother supplicated to Allah with that supplication, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala healed him from the illness that had befallen upon him. And verily Allah and His angels send the peace and the prayers upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all you who believe, do similarly by asking Allah to send the peace and the blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh concluded his khutbah by making dua for the Muslims, the believers, the living and the dead, and so forth. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him and to reward you for your patience and for sticking around to listen to this translation with the shortcomings and the mistakes that I may have made. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the bounties that He has given us. And alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullah khairan.